deeper into it with the intention of one day, if we do get more new members, we'll be able to sit you down with them with some material and be able to teach them how to be a Baptist. Well, we're on letter C, C being the church. What is the church? It's a good thing to talk about now that we're back together. We've got Sister Delberta down in Georgia. We had some members up in the mountains. Why are we still a church? Are they the church? Are we the church? Are all the Baptist people together the church? Well, this study looks at one of the most confusing and misunderstood doctrines of the Bible. People have all kinds of ideas as to what a church really is. Now, let's be honest. About 80% of people that claim to be Christians today, the idea of church is more like a social club. Very much the same as I would go to like a spiritual gymnasium. Some people would be more like if I went to the movies, but with live preaching or a theater. Everybody has a different point of view of what it is. But the truth is, it's not a denomination. It's not a building. It is a called out group of believers, and we are a called out assembly. All right, we've got some members from Flat Rock here. All right, they are members of the Flat Rock Church. Right, if we say what church, you're a member of Flat Rock. We're a member of Home Church. That's where we're a part of. You could take me, put me in Florida for a couple of weeks. Put me down there for a couple of weeks, and I would still be a member of church. That doesn't change. We have definite ways of changing membership, and we'll look at that later. But we are called out together by baptism or by vote. We are lumped together out of this world and into each other. The church is what we would call a New Testament institution. Matthew 16, 18, this is the first mention of the church in the Bible and who founded or built it. And that person, of course, would be Jesus Christ. Do me a favor, if I can, Brother Mike, if you'll get John 1:42. Charlie, if you're up to it, 1 Peter 2, verse 3. And whenever you're ready, Brother Mike.
And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou art the interpretation of stone."
Very good. All right. So again, we see, what is the meaning of Peter's name? A stone. Spelled out very clearly for us there in the King James. Peter's full name is Simon Peter Bar-Jonah. He is also sometimes called Simeon. All right, Brother Charlie? And then give me four through eight.
Had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Perfect. All right, so what we see here, well, there's a lot to unbox in that passage of Scripture. The very first thing that we see that we, each and every one of us, are like stones that make up what the church is as members. Now, there is that debate there among some that would say, all right, well, Peter was called the foundation, but we've known that, we've preached on that, that he himself was not. He was just a small stone, and then, of course, Jesus himself being the main rock that was built upon it. We see it right here in Peter's testimony, that to be exactly what he was describing, that we ourselves are smaller stones that make up the church, while Jesus Christ himself is the bedrock or the foundation of what the church is. Everything is built on him. Another thing that often happens is sometimes in this universal church type theory is that we are confused with Israel. The Old Testament is primarily addressed to the nation of Israel. We understand that. We see that. Sometimes people will take Old Testament promises to the nation of Israel, try to apply them to us. We want to be careful with that. The New Testament is mainly addressed to who? The churches. It's important for us not to confuse the two. 1 Corinthians 10:32 says, "Give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." Right? Now, before it was, there's two people, Jews, Gentiles. Now there's three, Jews, Gentiles, and those in the called out assembly, the church. They're completely separate entities. Now, can I be a Gentile and be a part of the church? I am. Can I be a Jew and part of the church? You can be. But we see there a called out group. Now, how do we know that that is the proper definition? Well, the word church or ecclesia is found 114 times in the New Testament and is rendered from the Greek, rendered from that Greek word ekklesia. The word ekklesia has only one meaning: a company of people called out to a specific place for a specific purpose. That's the only time you see that phrase put into play, which means that is the definition of what it is. Now, we've been toying around with Facebook Live, and Brother Tim let me have his selfie stick, which was pretty cool for somebody his age to own. I said, I did, Brother, I don't want to tease you, not at all, I appreciate it. But he comes in, he's got this thing, and I'm like, huh, here I am, the one who's almost millennial. I say I'm half millennial, and he's got stuff I'm supposed to have that I ain't got. How's that happen? But no, I appreciate that. We've had a lot of good use to that. So let's say, for instance, someone were to go onto our Facebook page and they were to see the sermons being preached, and they tune in the entire time we were doing it. We're probably not going to be doing this for much longer for this reason. But let's say somebody's at home, they're not a member of the church, and they're watching, and they watch faithfully, and they watch faithfully for years. Are they a member? No. Are they a part of the church? No. And again, we have the idea, well, I'm there, I'm a part of it, I'm listening. No. Right? Now, we have some people with physical limitations. If they were members of our church before and their physical limitations prevent them from coming in and they watch it, that's fine. But if somebody of able sound mind and body were just staying home so you could watch it on Facebook, I would have a problem with that. I'd be, because why? We're called out to what? An assembly together. The word ecclesia is a very specific word that applies to a very specific thing. Not just an alliteration or an allusion to an idea, but the actual thing. Right now, we are assembled together as a church. Yeah, we may be missing a couple people due to some being out in the parking lot, some on vacation, but we are a called out assembly together. In order for that to happen, we got to check some boxes. Number one, an assembly must be local. People cannot come together and yet be all over the world. And you know what? We've really strained that in the last year, haven't we? How many people are, we did that at Flat Rock where we were doing church via Zoom, and you would log in on a Sunday morning on the Zoom. And Danielle and I got the idea of the kids were spending the night over at my parents' house, and we were going to go out. We were going to go hiking. We got up early. We went out hiking, and when it was time for church, we logged in. We were sitting there. Now, is that the church called out into an assembly? No. not knocking it. I understand why we did what we did and why we had to do what we did. But to me, there's just something a little off there with the idea that we're all over the place and yet we're still an assembly. Can somebody be right here and assembled together somewhere else? No, it kind of strains the definition. In all but 15 instances where it is used in a generic or institutional sense, that is any church in general or no church in particular, the word church or churches is always used in connection with definite geographic localities. Now, I want to define something here. There are times in Scripture where it says the church at Philadelphia. We're referring to that local called out assembly. For the word church, those 15 times, is used generically. And a lot of folks will point to that and say, see, we're all the church. No, that is church without distinction. So when we're talking about the church in reason, or how the church itself should, we're talking about it generically. So any church, how a church should go. When we say the church, a church, how it should work, how it should behave itself. Right, so we're not looking at a universal thing. When Scripture doesn't list a specific one or just says the church, it means without distinction. There are many cities in specifics, Centuria, Corinth, Galatia, Asia, Macedonia, Laodicea. A lot of different churches are mentioned specifically. Now, if that was it would be the branch of the church over there. It would be the group of us over here. But no, again, it's used very specifically. For these reasons, the Bible knows nothing of a universal, worldwide church. The New Testament mentions many churches, all of which were meeting in different localities. They were invisible. They were divided. They were separate. They were not connected by a council. Yeah, and there were moments where we see them referring together, referring to the apostles. You still had the apostles. If I'm a new church and I still have the apostles I can touch base with and get to know, I'm going to reach out to them. But the apostles were not a government over all the individual churches. They were just something good to refer to. And therefore, we must know that not only should it be local, but it must be visible. People cannot come together and not be seen. Again, something we've strained over the last year. Many like to talk about the invisible church, which allows them to move around in Christian circles. But all the churches mentioned in the New Testament were seeable. Now, I get that every now and then we got some visitors here. You're going to go somewhere. You're going to pop into a church that you know. And that's good. Every now and then I like doing that when you're on vacation. Who do I know in the area? Okay, I know them. I'm going to go over there. I'm going to go visit them. That's nice. But again, to be able to just kind of circulate around, and it's all the church, right? As long as I'm in a church, I'm okay. Now, you eventually got to go home. You have to go back to your home church. We're not all part of one that's just all of them incorporated together. There are specific things that must be met. If we look at Philippians 1:27, we see the Apostle Paul writing to the churches at Philippians, Thessalonians, writing to the churches at Philippi and Thessalonica, desired to come and see their assemblies. Right? So there is a connection among us. There is a grouping in us as far as what a church is. I should be able to come in and see you. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Basically, there should be a spot where we get together instead of us just being a generic group somewhere. Right? And that would apply to, the Church of Michigan. Well, no, I should be able to look over, see where you guys are, where you're meeting in order to be a church. Now, it must also be organized. How is a church organized? Well, churches start churches. I cannot go, one of you cannot go to an area that's closer to your home and start a church there just because you think there should be one there. Right? Churches generate churches. We vote, we send somebody over, we organize it together. An assembly is not just a rabble or a disorderly mob. The word assembly implies organization. Right? A Baptist church is figuratively likened to a body. Right? And I can see all my body coming together, all my parts working together to do whatever it is I'm about to do. All right, but does a random pile of skin, flesh, organs, bones constitute as a body? Of course not. They must be put together according to a plan. The Bible's all, or the church is also referred to in 1 Timothy as a house, right? And now we have a church house, right? A grouping together, a place where we can come together and meet. But we think about that. You know, many of us, we're doors. Some of us are windows. Some of us are the roof parts. We make up one functional entity. A New Testament church is to be organized. The blueprint, of course, we find in the New Testament. There's got to be a pastor, and of course, there's got to be members, right? Again, another hard thing to find nowadays. There's a lot of places out there where it's just the pastor, his family, maybe one or two members that have been there for 50 or 60 years. It's getting rough out there. But all the same, it must be organized in a particular way. An assembly must also be constituted. We must have some kind of rules for our assembly, or else it would be sheer and utter chaos. We don't want chaos. Chaos doesn't get anything done. You see a lot of times when you get a group together, it's just natural that one person kind of takes the lead. That's the way it works. Some of you have worked in business. You're the boss. You take the lead. But the goal is to get a job done. And in order to get a job done, there must be rules in how we do it. Think about any project we could do. Hey, all right, we're going to go over here. We're going to do this out on the lawn. Well, we must establish what time we're going to get together. We must establish who's bringing what, right? We have to get together. What is the purpose of what we're doing? So we have to have rules. By this, we mean that it must be made out of the right components. How absurd to assemble a motor vehicle out of milk, leaves, and uranium. I don't know if that would work. It's got to have the right stuff to it, right? There's a lot of churches out there, they got some weird rules. They got some weird laws. The point of us getting together is not for us to behave like a business. Now, there are good stewardship principles a church should have, but anything we put together must have the right components. And we see that in Scripture as to how we're supposed to act. A New Testament church is not to be made up of just any ideas, anything that we've stolen from the world, but instead we're supposed to be put together in a proper way. All right, so for instance, how do we get somebody into the church? Well, Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. We see very clear rules as to how to bring somebody into the church. Number one, we see the qualifications. They that received the word. You know, I've given the gospel to a lot of people that never a lot of people have heard great preaching, but they've never received it. They heard it, it went here, but it didn't go any deeper. Just kind of crashed alongside the side of the head there. Right, so when they received it, means salvation. That's not too big of a leap there, right? You received it, means you understood it, it meant something to you. So save people. What did we do to them? We baptized them. Now we look at the word baptism. Baptism in this context implies submersion. Somebody tagged me in a Facebook post, and I don't know why I get tagged in all this goofy stuff, but it was a post talking about Oreos, how Oreos need to be baptized or something like that, how they're a Baptist cookie. And I kind of felt bad because I hold my Oreos under there until the bubbles stop, and that's not a good illustration for baptism. But you submerge something, submerged and brought back up, not sprinkled, not lightly dabbled. I saw one person one time that just kind of put their thumb in the water, and they went there. I'm like, that is the furthest from baptism you could even pretend to be. I just go, and bloop. Right, don't even touch me with that stuff, right? Baptism, full submersion into the water, showing that picture. And the same day that we're continuing, they were added to the church. So again, baptism and adding, we see that need for them to be brought in. We see that need for a vote, something along those lines. This is the only scriptural way by which people can become members. Why? Because that is the rule set forth in Scripture. I don't make the rules. The deacon with the biggest pocketbook don't make the rules. The church member with the biggest mouth, the church member whose wife has the biggest mouth, does not make the rules. Right? The church has a head. Who is the head of the church? That's Jesus Christ. Right? And we see every church has a pastor, or some groups out there have a deacon board. Guess what? And I hate to burst their bubble. They're not the head of the church. It is not their whims, it is not their desires that govern the body of the church. It is Jesus Christ. When we make a decision as a church, it is the Bible we consult about it. Right? When y'all got together to come together and see how you're going to find a pastor, one of the things you did for me first was ask questions. Questions based on my employment history? No. Questions based on how I would handle certain stressors? No. It was a Bible test. It was an understanding of basic Bible doctrine. Why? Because Jesus gave us the teachings that we would implement them. And I can't implement them if I don't know them. Everything we do goes back to His way and how He wants it done. Galatians 3:1 gives us answers the question, in what way is a church subject to its head? When it obeys the truth. We cease to be a church when we fail to obey the truth. Stories told of a church, and I use that phrase very loosely, that started off as a church with a small get together, but they would have these tremendous lunches every Sunday. And people would come in, and I can't remember what, I think there was tacos or something like that they were selling. And people would come in for that, and then they would come and they would get the lunch. Well, it became so popular, and everybody loved it so much, they started missing more members out of the service so they could prepare for the lunch. Then they figured, well, hey, we could sell this stuff. So they started supplementing the income of the church from selling the food. After a while, they ceased to be a church and were just a restaurant. All right, you could Google these people. Maybe I'll look it up later and get some more information on you. They ceased being a church, reorganized into a restaurant. Why? Because they put the cart before the horse. Right? We got a good reputation as a church for the Bible conferences that we put on. This last one was a little different, but I don't think it missed the mark by too far. I think we did pretty well. Right? But that's not what we are. We're not a Bible conference company. We are a church. We are a Sunday morning, Sunday night getting together, Wednesday night Bible study getting together. For a while there, we were a kickball kicking church. We did things, right? It was in the everyday. So we'll look more into that next week. But again, the base foundation came from Christ, is based in Christ, and everything we do goes back to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.